For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 4th, 2004. July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the minister.
But that's really more true than what it sounds like. Because when you want the goodness of God in your life, it takes faith. And faith is trust in the Old Testament. And it also is translated, amen, seven times. So it means, let's partake. So be it. Let's eat. And we're here this week for as many days as we can attend. Some of us can't attend the whole thing. Sadly, I'm one of them. But let's take part of everything that we can. I had the privilege of a couple of good friends and brothers that came. And I told them this morning, I said, don't get away without having Dr. Noel pray for you. I don't worship Dr. Noel. I appreciate him, okay? And they got very blessed in it. There's so much going on here. And sometimes we want to be social. And I wouldn't encourage being unsocial. But partake in as much as you can. That's eat of as much as we can. I thank God for the staff here. They are very dynamic people, every one of them. And we need to keep them in prayer. And just ask God, what can I do for, you know, when you see them working away, ask God, what can I do for them? I believe in order to receive, you got to give, right? God gave His only begotten Son. And today He's got millions in His family. Some have gone on before us. But God paid a terrible price to receive what He considers a good deal. Sometimes I question that, looking at my own life, not yours, just my own. But I want you to know that God cares for each and every one of us. We're going to have communion after a while, and it blesses me that the children can partake. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, let's just go there. It makes it real clear to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is reproving and correcting. It's talking about problems in the marriage, and children are fruit of the marriage, right? But there's a lot of things in here, but it says in verse 14, it says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified or set apart by the wife. Isn't that beautiful? And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were the children unclean, but now they are holy. See, our children, those of you that have younger children, are sanctified by your believing. You know what believing is? It's what you're doing with your faith. So we can do great things for our children and grandchildren, those of us that are grandparents. It's the 103rd Psalm. I don't remember where it is, but I'll encourage you, read the 103rd Psalm. It's a very great blessing. But it talks about children's children. I have a daughter that has got some bitterness towards the Lord. And we can't talk about Jesus. And she's doing a great job of raising her daughter. And little Caitlin's 4 years old, very loving little child. But she hasn't heard about Jesus. And so I'm not going to cheat, because I think God is bigger than me being a manipulator and using witchcraft. And it's a hard thing to do. Because I love that little girl. I'm a sucker for kids. That's why I got kids in Romania. I'm a kid at heart. My body won't keep up with it sometimes. But, you know, I've just got to trust, and we all have just got to trust, that God's Word is the truth. Okay? And if it says it, that's what's going to happen. Jesus said, you're going to have what you say. All right? So we speak about our children. Let's not speak about the problems. Let's not speak, you know, and be condemning about our children. Because guess what? You'll get used to it. They're a reflection of us. That's in the Bible. You want to see a mirror what you look like? You know, before you put on all your makeup? Guys, I hope not. But look at your children. And it's, you know, it blesses me. I got grandchildren that are really dynamic believers. And then I look at this situation. And I've got to realize that there's something in my life that's just, it's caused this problem, okay? You know, we're family. Excuse me, I bawl once in a while. I like people to think I'm tough so I don't have to. But, you know, if we can't be honest before one another, I'm not up here because I'm qualified. I'm the least qualified to be up here. All right? You know? So if you want to leave, they already locked the door. But my qualification is that I know that Jesus Christ is real. And I know that we're a family. I know we got things to deal with. And I know we didn't all come in here perfect. And I said we, okay? All right? We all have not achieved what is available for us to achieve. So we continue to press towards that mark. And communion is an important part of that. It's amazing, during the exposing of Judas Iscariot for what he really was, I'm sure the guys had him figured out by then, but Jesus believed in unity, so they wouldn't let him peck away, you know, because I don't understand, except I've had problems with people that God's given me authority over at times, and many times God says, now come on, Carl, Jesus didn't turn his back on Judas. Okay? And you got to remember that with your children. You got to remember that with your spouses. Jesus held on to the very end. So when you come to take communion today, get your heart clean. I'm going to share a little story. A lot of years ago, probably 8, 9, maybe 10 years ago, in Romania, I was in a little village. The name starts with S, but I can't remember. The names all run together. I could drive you there. Okay? I could from Bucharest. But this village had a witch in this village. It was very powerful. And this is the first time I've been in this village. Of course, we're just driving in. You know, we're excited. We just had landed the day before. And we get there, and everything's so somber. And, you know, and then, you know, we got there about a half an hour before church started. And they asked me, they said, Brother, would you officiate communion? And I said, I'd be honored to. And then the children were just real beaten down, you know. Like I was wondering, am I going into a village where they abuse their children? I mean, they were really abused and beaten down children. And the pastor and a couple of the elders came to me and they said, Brother, we do not know what to do. There's a witch. And she lives across the street from this church. And she's cursed our children so bad. This stuff is real, folks. She has cursed our children so bad that she has taken out the she stole the child out of our children. See, they recognize the problem. People do, you know. But they didn't recognize the solution, unfortunately. And so I told them, I said, well, you know, I asked them to bring the children in. Well, when we got the children in, Romania has large families. They love their families. And we got all the kids in there. The parents had to be outside. And so I just decided, in between me and the Lord, you know, I'm going to do communion for these children. And so we did. And I prayed over them as a group, and I broke the curses, and we took communion. And these children left communion, and they were dancing, and they were singing. And they went outside and they were climbing up and down trees, playing hide and seek. The child had been restored in their children. Well, when the moms and dads came in, they were so thankful. They said, Brother, we want nothing. We got everything that we want. We want nothing. I said, well, God's bigger than that. There's something for you too. And it was a wonderful time. Well, then it was late at night, and they took us to a railroad siding, and they said, there's some people going to pick you up. And we're standing out there. It's kind of a misty rain, dark. There isn't one light out there. It's just a platform alongside the railroad tracks. No buildings. And they leave us. I thought, boy, now this is appreciation. And we didn't know where we were. We didn't speak the language. And they took the interpreter with them. So a train come. And the guy said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to get on the train. It'll go somewhere. And this guy came in from another car, and he was kind of embarrassed because he couldn't speak, and I knew then that, you know, he was part of the reason for being there. But we didn't know. Sometimes I feel like a trained monkey. They just put a collar and lead me around, you know. And you got to trust the Lord. But we went, and then he said, when we got to Capena, did I say that right? We got Romanian here. I think it's Capena or Cupina. Anyway, I always mess these names up, but we get there, and then there's an interpreter at the station. And he's motioning for it, get off. And then he hides us. He said, we must get a cab, an interpreter. And if they see you're Americans, it'll cost too much. So they're hiding us, you know. And the guys with me are going like, you know, what are we doing here? And anyway, we went, and through the interpreter, he says, you must do a communion. And I don't know how we'd done, but he says, we want a communion like the other one. And I said, communion is something that's really real. You cannot duplicate. They'll never be the same, and if they are, kick out the religious devils. Okay? It's more than a sacrament. Communion is a wonderful thing. But anyway, these people, and I'm going to share some of what I shared with them, something I'm going to share with you today. You probably have heard it, but you're going to hear it again. But it was really neat because the pastor got up and he told the congregation to repent. And they all just dropped to their knees and they're all praying out loud in tongues. To us it was tongues because we didn't know the language. You know? But their neighbors next to them knew and they're pouring out their heart. They're speaking out, you know, they're confessing their faults and sin. And as they're doing that, I get this vision. I'm there and I'm watching. And the vision was mixed with reality. But these great big angels are coming in. And when somebody repents, and I know that you're a clean guy, we're going to use you anyway, the angel just reached over, took that little devil. I've never seen a big devil yet, okay? Okay? But they take these devils and they're squirming and they're biting, they're trying. And these angels just walk out of church with them, just as orderly and just no big deal. And I don't know what they did with them outside the church. But I got kicked out of a church one time because I cast the devil out of an associate pastor. And they didn't get possessed. And he was dying of cancer. And as I was praying, he was feeling his parts being put back in. And yet, when I cast out the infirmity, I got thrown out of the church. So, and that happened not long before that. So I thought, you know, I really don't want to have a big stir here. I'm a stranger in a foreign land. So I thought, I'm going to talk to the guys about it later. And the pastor, Lord had a better idea. The pastor says to my interpreter, you tell that brother that he just got a vision for this church and he must tell it. So I go, okay. You know. So I shared it with them. And when you take communion, folks, if we can set our hearts right when we take communion, you will be healed. Okay? And that's what happened with these people. You know, we have hours and hours after service over there of ministering and doing deliverance and healing. And here was a church of probably 400 people or better. Five people came up for prayer, and it was for relatives. God really did a work. And we can expect that today, okay? I want the children here because they're covered. Those, if you have youngsters that haven't accepted Jesus yet, they're in God's kingdom by your faith. Acts says that you and your whole household shall be saved. All right? So hold on to it. Can you believe that that's the truth? I believe it's the truth. You know why? Because it's in the Word of God. And that God's Word is the truth. So if you got any sacred cows that say children that can't have communion before a certain age, put that cow here. I'm going to shoot it. All right? We're going to sacrifice that sucker. Okay? And another thing, there's a point in communion that is very... You sure you want me to do this? It's a very somber and sober, because we are going to spend some time, myself included. I'm saying we. Did you notice that? We are going to spend a little bit of time just asking to clean this house, okay? All right? And that way we can come worthily and we can receive the fullness of that communion. And when we receive the communion, that's to do it with joy in our heart. It's family time. It's family reunion. So if you got a difference with somebody in this room, you make sure that you go to them and you hug on them and say, "Forgive me," or "I forgive you," whatever it takes. In Romania, they got a tradition, and it's a tradition full of life, not stuffy. They wash feet. And they're honest. They got someone they got a difference with, they pick them out, and they wash their feet. It's a humbling thing to do, to get down at your knees and wash feet. Because they're very careful. The ladies wear skirts, so the men don't wash women's feet, okay? They wash men's feet. But it's a wonderful thing, because you watch a divided group, that even hostility, and you watch as they do these things. So if you have problems in your family, it's a wonderful thing for a man to wash his wife's feet, and vice versa. You beat me to the punch. But it's a wonderful thing. You know, fathers, wash your children's feet. Did you hear me? Oh, but I'm supposed to... Yeah, wash your children's feet. You know, God raises up those who humble themselves before the Lord, right? Bible, right? Well, if you're having a problem in your home with authority, like mama won't let go of the pants, of course that isn't none of this congregation, but, okay, you know, it's an amazing thing. You can't be the head unless she lets you be the head. That's what the Bible says. That's instruction to the wife, that the husband be the head. Yet we got so many of them to think, oh, you know, he's not being the head, so, you know, I maxed out the credit card or whatever. But see, God called the man to be responsible, and he makes avenues for you to be the head, gentlemen. And part of it is to humble yourself. God will raise you up. God will, because he says he will. You know, there's sometimes I've had families that I've counseled, and I've told them to go home after we got done, and I've told them to go home and have communion. I said, because it's a healing time. So that's have some great expectations on it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're familiar with this, but I want to spend some time here, okay? And starting in where do you start? You need the whole thing. We don't have that much time to do that. But, well, look, verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." 14, chapter 10, 14, okay? What is idolatry? Those are all right. Idolatry, really, quite simply, is any time that you put something or someone ahead of Jesus Christ and God, that's idolatry. And gentlemen and ladies that got ministries, which is all of you, if you put your ministry, that's idolatry. And there's more ministries and ministers that have fallen over this trap. It's a very important thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of your ministry. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. But verse 15, Paul says by revelation, "I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." Now, you guys are wise guys, right? Right? You're wise men, wise women, right? Hello, are you awake? Can't even offend you. "I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." Those words are as real today as they were when Paul spoke them by revelation or wrote them by revelation. Take it into your heart. Listen to this. It says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Question, is it? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The blood of Christ is for the remission of sin. That's how you get forgiven, okay? Years ago, there's a trailer coming down a hill. It'd come loose. And I had this little fish pond, you know, full of rainbow trout. It's coming towards it. And this lady, it was her husband driving the truck up this mountainside. And she's stopping the trailer by the blood of Jesus. I says, "Mary, that won't work." She looked at me. I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, trailer, stop." And the tongue dug in and it spun around and it hit a tree. Didn't hurt the trailer either. I says, "Mary, see, the blood has a place. The name of Jesus is above every name. It'll stop a freight train. You got the faith. But see, without the blood, you will not have the faith that name has that kind of authority. It's a very important part. Those things all fit together, and it's like your sock doesn't go outside your shoe normally, right? Things need to be in the right order. It's important that we have ourselves cleansed. All right? That's number one. It's a very important... It is in everything, but, you know, please, let's make sure that we're cleansed before we take communion anytime. Because Paul goes on. It says, "For we being many are one bread in one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." He's talking about healing. That's the healing in the communion, okay? That bread represents the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean get a picture of a beaten up Jesus. Now, just a second. You laugh, but it's taught. Get a picture. And you know what? Sometimes you need to stop and think what he paid so you can straighten up your twisted body and walk straight. But you know what? Bigger than that. He is. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. And you know what? You know who's the head of this camp? Jesus Christ, right? You know who's the head of the body? Jesus Christ. All right? So you know what it is? If you're going to discern and look and deal with the body of Jesus Christ, that bread, you need to make sure that you are seeing the body of Christ for what they are and loving them, forgiving them. Because even if you're an important vital organ in the body of Christ, some think there's the heart. Maybe they are. I know what I am and I won't say. But you know what? Every part of the body is important. And if you are against another portion of the body of Christ, you literally are against yourself. But that's not the big deal. The big deal is you are against Christ. Because Christ is the head of the body. Right? Okay, we don't have to dig out a lot of scripture? Good. All right, Christ is the head of the body. We are part of the body. I can't say I got relationship with Jesus Christ if I've got differences with you, brother. Okay? All right? Or with you, sister. See, because that affects the sweetness and the purity of relationship with Jesus. It's a very important thing. So, as I'm sharing with you, and as you're dozing off, stop and just, if you've got anything that you got differences with somebody and they're not here, pray about it, okay? All right? Just silently pray about it. I believe that communion is a very important part of the body of Christ, of God's will being done in our lives. I know it is because I've read the Bible and I believe it and I've stood on this and I've seen things happen. I've seen broken families come back together. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. I mean, it's available because it brings us into communion, relationship with what the Lord done for us. See, He paid a price for your life, not only for your salvation, not only for your deliverance, but for your life, your eternity. Your eternal life started when you accept Jesus as Lord. And it grows and prospers as you stay in relationship with Him. If we're going to hide ourselves from our sin and pretend like it's not there, guess what? You know, when I was a little kid, I stole a watermelon. You guys probably never did anything like that. And did it more than once, but I really got caught. Because you know what I did? I buried all the seeds and stuff. I was so clever. Man, guess what popped up along the creek bed? My mom says, my nickname was Butch. She says, "Hey, Butch," she said, "you ought to see the big watermelon that's growing down by the creek. I wonder where that came from." God bless my mom. She's 93 years old, and she's still a dynamic believer. She's a wonderful mom and a wonderful sister in Christ. But, see, don't try to hide these things, all right? Let's just get rid of them. He knows anyway. You know, don't think that I've got to work this out before I take it to Him because I want to do it right. Give me a break. You can't do it right. Did you hear me? Now I better get a little more personal. We can't do it right. Okay? We can't. I don't care how many PhDs you got piled up. All right? It won't work. That's why Jesus had to pay the price. We have a great responsibility. And we have a great accountability. But we could never reach our responsibility or our accountability or achieve any of the things of God without Jesus Christ. Not only for our salvation, not only for our healing, not only for our deliverance, but for all the things of life. Anything that we do not include Jesus Christ in is idolatry. Okay? Is that clear? That's a challenge, isn't it? That's very convicting. We have got to trust that God is one that keeps His Word. And God is not into judging you. Did you hear me? God's into judging sin. Separate ourselves from the sin and let that sin be judged. Jesus was my judgment and justification. Was He yours? Is He yours? Will He be tomorrow? Amen? See, the devil is slippery to try to make us not deal with these things. And he will do everything, and he's been practicing this for a long time. But you know, you have got Christ in you, the hope of glory. What more do we really need? We need a lot more. We got to believe it. We got to trust it. We got to move on it. We got to love. We got to forgive. This is all part of including Christ in us. But we are part of the body of Christ. And when we take that bread, we're biting on each other. Not literally, fortunately. But see, when you bite on that, because Jesus, when He went to be with the Father, He said, "I'm going to send you a comforter," didn't He? That comforter is in each and every one of us. And sometimes we need something that we can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Because for reality to get in. And that's why we have communion has been provided for us. But it says, he goes on, he says, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar?" And I should have Dr. Noel explain that, because he's really been explaining things to all of us for a long time on these areas. But see, it was a whole different administration of time. But they were partaking. Those Levites partake of the altar. Right? But we need to, in the same reality, we need to partake of what the Lord done. We were talking earlier today about people that have been beaten and tortured and busted during the communist years. All they had to do was sign an affidavit that Jesus was dead. That's all they had to do. And they would be set free. I've met some of these people. I've seen a lady that was so busted up, she's about this tall. They broke her body up and left her in a coma and threw her in a box. Ice cold in the winter. But she wouldn't die. But every time she healed up a little bit more twisted and busted. When God healed her, the room you could hear snapping and popping. Was I worthy to pray for this woman? I wasn't even worthy to be on the same continent in my flesh. When I thought about, you know, I may have copped out and signed that, folks. I don't know. You never know till you're there. And that's why communion with the Lord is so important. I had the condemnation that come on me because of the man that I am. I know me well. All right? I had to step aside from that because I was the man that they brought to pray for this woman. And God healed her. We walked out, and she was 4 inches taller at least, maybe more than that. She was glorifying God. It was an awesome thing. There was another great situation that happened in that room, but the thing about it was this woman had suffered for the Lord. And yet, sometimes we're ashamed to tell people, I'm a Christian. Or we say, I'm afraid to talk about Jesus. I might get fired. Well, I got news for you. If your job is your sufficiency, the Chinese are going to buy you out anyway. Okay? Get used to the reality that there's nothing in this world that you can depend on, including your flesh. All right? There's something greater that's been put in every one of our lives. I don't know why God trusts any of us. But He sees beyond who we are. And when you take communion, just be thankful for that. You know, some of you may not realize this, but God don't need you. All right? He doesn't need you at all. We need God. It's exactly, He took the words around my mouth. We need Him. We used to sing a song when I was a kid, "We Need Him Every Hour." Does anybody remember that one? I don't remember much of the words, but I remember that because as a little kid, man, that song would just, I would just cry because it was so true. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. He don't need us. He gives us the privilege of doing things for us. He gives us the privilege. You know, and He takes the most unqualified to do it because He's trying to make people realize, hey, baby, it ain't flesh. Your flesh stinks. You ever notice when you get out of camping and a couple days without a shower? Huh? Sometimes it don't take a couple days. All right? Well, that's just a token of how stinky our flesh is. And praise God that we can leave our flesh behind. We have the privilege of reckoning our flesh dead. Can I say, my flesh is dead? Boy, a couple of you didn't say it. Come on. Amen. I am alive in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. When you come in, when you come to partake of the communion, come in with that heart. Okay? But before you get there, make sure that you don't have any of the barnyard left on your shoes. Okay, for you farmers, all right? You know, get rid of the stink of our flesh because we do partake. And it says, what say I then, verse 19, that the idol is anything or that which is offered in a sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Devils! Oh, that can't be true. We don't believe in them. Well, hallelujah. But it's a sacrifice on the devils. And that's what's going on in a lot of Christian community. And not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils, demons, whatever your Bible says, okay? Folks, that's why we're here. You know, the world has a saying that they think is cool, neck up. We need to do a checkup from the flesh up. Because the flesh needs to be down here. All right? That's quit sacrificing to devils. That's quit having communion with devils. Does that mean we're going to quit talking to everybody that hasn't accepted Jesus? Oh, no. Let's get out there and tell them about Jesus. Let's bring them in to the family. But we don't have to be what they are. You don't have to sit and get drunk with some alcoholic to deliver him because it won't work. They're smoking pot with some pothead. It don't work. Come on. Jesus never did that. Jesus went into publicans and sinners. But he didn't become them. It's an important thing to realize. But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice it to devils. We're not supposed to be Gentiles or infidels or anything else. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We ought to... Man! Another song that just went through my mind. I'm a child of the King. Boy, some of them old songs we need to grab a hold of again. Because they were literally where the Scripture being sung. Psalms. Psalms were sung. 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Okay? You can't go north and south at the same time. A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways. James. James is a... I call it the New Testament Proverbs. But you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Folks, that's God's heart for communion. You know, in John chapter... Can you find John? Verse... excuse me. Jesus made some things very clear. You know, he said in verse 11 of 14, he said, believe me not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Now, is that partaking the devils? We should be able to, and we are responsible to be able to have to say that same thing. What do you mean you never seen Jesus? Take a look at me. And say, I don't want nothing to do with that Jesus. Whoa. Clean up. We got to clean up. You know, people read us for a long time before they're ever going to pick up God's holy word. Right? Let's not drive them away. Let's draw them in. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. One time Jesus told me, I told him, I said, they're not listening to me. He says, tell them. And he told me, he says, read that scripture. He says, and read it. It's yours. You got. I give you my authority to challenge them. If you can't believe what I say, believe what I'm doing. You know what? People shut up. But thank God I was doing something that could, you know, many times in my life that would not have been available. But that's for you when you stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you. Can you say, me? Verily, verily, he's saying unto me. All right? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do because they go unto the Father. That is living a holy life. That's not just doing signs, miracles, and wonders, my family. But it does include that. Signs, miracles, and wonders follow us as we believe. But see, we are called to be like Christ. We are called to be an example. An ambassador, we're called ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. An ambassador is very careful how he represents his nation. Even if it's a very poor nation, even, he does it with dignity. He does not do things that would hinder the kingdom that he represents. And God trusted each and every one of us to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? He trusts us. And see, the devil reminds us of who and what we are. And we go, whoa, I'm coming up short. Well, then guess what? We got 1 John 1:9, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? How much does all cover? All unrighteousness. But what you don't confess, that don't work for it, right? So we have this little favorite little thing, and we all got it. Come on. So that part we don't, you know, we just don't permit him in there. You know what I mean? You think he don't know? I am so glad that God is the loving God and forgiving God that he is. But these things I share, not that you would go into a condemnation trip, okay? Because that's not God's heart. Not want his people condemned. He wants sin condemned, all right? He wants your flesh condemned. That's why it's such a wonderful thing. When Jesus became Lord, our flesh became dead. Why? So it could take the judgment. the garbage can be thrown on the flesh. It's an awesome thing that you have been put into you, literally, because that spirit of life that you were born with, that got separated in Genesis chapter 3 from man, gets reunited. So what happens is that spirit of life, temporal life, literally gets united with eternal life. Isn't that an amazing thing? Only God could do that. Only God could have separated those two in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve fell. Because Adam and Eve lived on, didn't they? A whole bunch of years. So what was that death? Because he said, you know, he didn't say a bunch of years later. He said, when you eat of that fruit, they ate of that fruit. That spirit within, that spirit life that was put in you, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord, got separated from Adam and Eve. The devastation. I can't imagine all the years that they lived having known that and walked and tossed it away. I can't understand that. We have that spirit by a terrible price of Jesus Christ having to have paid for us. We have got that restored. We have become sons and daughters of God. So when we take communion, this is a family reunion. And I'll guarantee you, the Lord is here. He already is, okay? But it's amazing because He says He'll be in our midst, right? Well, that's greater than what you realize. It's like, it's not that He's not just sitting in this chair that's empty. Because when you have a bunch of brothers and sisters that come together, and they have Christ in them, the hope of glory, it's already there, see? And when you come into agreement and you're praising and you're loving God, meaning you're loving one another, there's a powerful thing that is so dynamic that when you get back out in the world, you go, whoa, what happened out here? Because it's like the world becomes dim. You know, I haven't thought a whole bunch about the world except the phone rings and I got to deal with things. But I just jump back. This is great. This is a great refreshing time, and I hope you're getting refreshed. But it's a very important thing that when you eat of that bread, that wafer, whatever we use, when you do that, I want you to be honest. Before you do that, get honest with God. If you've got differences with a brother or sister, ask for forgiveness, okay? I don't care if they ask you to forgive them or not. Unforgiveness is one of the most powerful tools that Satan uses against us as Christians. We let all kinds of issues get in the way. Let's make sure that hook is stripped off the line. All right? Like a guy fishing without a hook, you know? When you take forgiveness, you snip that line and he can't catch you. So let's make sure that we're not carrying in any unforgiveness in our lives. Paul goes on to talk about them dying prematurely. You know, the church at Corinth, I mean, hey, they were tongue talkers. They were cool. They were Pentecostal. They were charismatic. They were, yeah. And yet, hey, they were involved with incest. There's all kinds of things that was going on. So don't tell me that someone can't have the Spirit of God and sin. Or that because you sin, you don't have the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is bigger than that. It says it's sealed. You cannot contaminate it. But folks, what you're doing with your soul and spirit's not the same. Your soul is your earth house. You know, people talk about your body, but, you know, it's like, you know, the master bedroom or something. The kitchen, that's an important room, right? But that soul is where you and the Lord, that's the place where you have that personal communion. And that's the part, that's where you work out the issues. And we have to keep working them out. And that's what I encourage you to do before we take communion. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray wherever the Lord gives me, and I'm going to give you some quiet time. And Brother Clement, do you have anything that you want to share at this point? No? Okay. But I just want you to get quiet, okay? Just close your eyes. We better, yeah. I still want you to get quiet, close your eyes, okay? Just ask God. If you can't think of things to forgive, ask Him if there's anything you need to be reminded of at this time. asking to just strip away the cares of this earth, the guilts and the shames, the meannesses, all the things. Just let Him work. Just let Him work on you. Condemnation. Self-condemnation. Just let it go. Just let it go. Just let it drift into nothingness. Just let it go. Father, I just thank You. Jesus paid it. Just be thankful. This is a time of thankful repentance. This is not a place for the devil. So don't let him try to hide in any corners. Don't try to justify anything, including your reasons for what you've done. Don't give any place for Satan. Open your heart. Search my heart, O Lord. Is anything found in me? Remove it. As you're doing this, God's bringing deliverance into your life, healing, peace. This is taking away the opportunities that the devils have been feeding on the fruit of your spirit and putting rotten fruit in. It's a time of thankfulness. It's a time when the joy of the Lord that's been stolen from you is being and will be restored. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As we welcome our young folks back in, just don't be distracted, folks. Just stay in prayer. Keep your heart before the Lord. Welcome, kids. Brother Clement, this generation is very important to God. It's not an accident that you're here. Satan's not your friend either. And what I'm having everybody do, and I suggest that you just bow your heads and ask God to forgive anything in your life where Satan is getting an advantage, because he's not your friend. And he wants your lives. But God wants your lives, and he's paid a terrible price.
The Lord Jesus Christ plainly gave us two ordinances to remember and observe and do until He comes again. He spoke of believing and then being baptized. They practiced this. But He spoke also to His disciples in that upper room, and He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me until I come again to take of the Lord's Supper." The Holy Spirit impressed me that on this word, unworthily, it shows, first of all, let's make a distinction between the body and the blood. There is a difference. Through the bruised, broken body, as Isaiah the 53rd chapter said, by His stripes we are healed. But through the blood, without the shedding of blood, Leviticus says there is no remission of sin. None of us are really worthy of heaven except in the plan of God. The elect that He calls, cleanses with His own blood, they're precious in His sight. And we're the heritage of the Lord. We're a royal nation. Have royal blood flowing in our veins. But it said, let a person examine themselves, which Brother Carl admonished us to do, which we have done. But let me remind you of something that the Holy Spirit reminded me of. In that upper room, there was Mark. He had a great weakness in his character because it showed up in the book of Acts when things got hard out on the evangelistic field or missionary field. And I'm not condemning him, but he said, "Paul, this is a little too difficult. I didn't expect this." And that's one that Jesus Himself served communion to. What about the two disciples that got in an argument? Who's going to be greatest? One of them came and said, "Lord, who's going to be the greatest in Your kingdom? If it's me, it's high time these jokers found it out. But if it's someone else, I probably know a few things about him that you don't know." If you are in that struggle with other individuals, who lords over who, or who's master, you're fighting the wrong battle in Christianity. All of us are equal unto the Lord, just saved by the grace of God. We just honor people for their work's sake, and that's all. There were others in that room that Jesus personally ministered to. Two of them went to their mother and said, "Mom, this thing I believe is going to be real. When that kingdom comes, I want you to go to Jesus. He'll probably listen to you." And we want to sit on the right hand and we want to sit on the left. Those people were in the upper room taking communion. Now the Lord invites every one of us to come. Is that right, young people? He invites all of us. But just say yes to the Lord. Some may differ with me, but I think if you've got some things that's wrong back home, take Holy Communion, ask God to go and cleanse your heart by credit, if you want to call it that. And the next time you see your mother-in-law, you'll ask forgiveness. Now, if you differ with me, love me anyway. So, Lord, we have searched out our heart. And you bid us come. There's others in that upper room, Lord, that you ministered to personally. Look at this, friend. Here's Peter. "I'll die for you. I've got the goods. Don't know about these others, but boy, I've arrived." The Bible said, when they came in the garden and got Jesus and treated him like a common criminal, Peter followed afar off. The rest of the disciples evidently didn't follow at all. So that's maybe an honor to Peter. But look at Peter. Did Jesus say, "Oh, I know the future, and you're going to deny me three times, Peter? I'm not going to serve communion to you"? No. He bids us come. I want this to be a very divine, holy moment in every one of our lives. Just say yes to Jesus. "Yes, Lord, whatever, if there's any wrong any place and needs right, I just say yes, Lord, and you'll help me do it." Amen? And then I'd remind you too, every communion service should be a divine healing service. Mrs. Armstrong, they had a early motel here in Hot Springs on East Grand. She's in my dad's church many years ago after an automobile accident on crutches. She couldn't hardly move. She came to church, took Holy Communion. God invigorated her. She straightened up, left her crutches, and walked out of there healed by the power of God. Friend, see, his bruised, broken body wasn't given necessarily, as the Bible describes it, for our sins. He shed his blood for our sins. I know it's all overlapping and intermixed. But in simple form, his body, and we eat the bread, ask God to give you. I do every time. I say, "Lord, give me strength." Even nothing wrong with you. Say, "Lord, give me everlasting, according to my days, so shall thy strength be." And I ask for that kind of healing and virtue. And there may be something in your body right now that doesn't even show up. And later medical science may say, "Buddy, you had this for 2 years, but you didn't know it till yesterday." But take that communion and say, "This body is going to line up with the resurrection of the life and the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's believe God's Word. Thank you, Lord. It's a precious time. Lord, we lift our hands and worship you. We praise you. We honor and adore you and praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Tell the Lord you love him. "Lord, I love you with all my heart. Increase my capacity, Lord, to love you more." Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you. We will humbly ask that you prayerfully and reverently take the bread, take the cup, and then we will bless it after you receive it. And then we will all partake together.
And I stand as priest of this place, and I ask that every person here take communion this morning, yes, from the least to the greatest.
In faith, take it. Faith pleases God. Without faith, we cannot please God. Amen. I pray that your Holy Spirit will help them right now to confess Jesus Christ. Believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and partake of these ordained symbols of thy body and thy blood. Help if there be a backslider or sinner friend or church member that's not absolutely sure the heart is right with God. Help them to obey in faith, believing. This very moment we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hold up the blood.
Father God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, who is our King, our Lord, I bless this bread that represents His body that was broken for our healing.
Yes, Lord.
And we take it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus. And we praise You, Father, for what You have provided for us and what we're receiving right now in healing in the name of Jesus Christ.
Shall we eat together? If that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it shall quicken and make alive your mortal body. Receive healing in Jesus' name. Hold up the cup.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, raise the cup, please. And Father God, because of Jesus, You're our Father, and we give You praise. I thank You that this is a representation of the shed blood of our precious Lord and Savior, our Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I receive remission of sin.
May we drink together. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, cleanseth from all sin. Physical sins, emotional sins, mental sins, sins of attitude, sins of disposition, sins of carnality, spiritual sins, all sin forgiven in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Receive it. Receive it. Glory to God. It's a time of celebration.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet reverently and sing. Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. If our sin was as snow.
Now, before we sing it again, I want you to take your neighbor's hand, because the Bible said, some are sick and weakly, not discerning the body, the real body of Jesus Christ, and the body, you're a member in the body of Christ. So we're singing it in unity and in love as members now of the body of Jesus Christ. Sing it.
Oh, the blood.
Father, this morning we thank You for the privilege we've had to remember Calvary and to remember the whipping post and to remember the resurrection. For there we have life and life eternal. I thank You for receiving our praise and our worship. Thank You for forgiving us of our sins. For the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanseth from all sin. Whosoever sins we remit, they're remitted. This morning we stand to remit the sins, Father, not only ours, but those of our children and our grandchildren, and those, Father, that we stand that me and my household, we and our households, that will declare and serve the living God. And I thank You for the privilege today to decree that in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Pilgrims came here, declared that they came to the great wilderness to bring Jesus to a new world where he would be Lord. But the devil has tried to pervert ever since the beginning the purpose for which our forefathers came to this land. The scripture says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I, Jehovah, hear from heaven and will forgive my sin and their sin and will heal my land and our land. And now mine eyes shall be upon and mine ears shall be attended unto the prayers that are made in this place. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort therefore that prayers and supplications and intercessions be given of thanks be made for all men, for presidents and for all that in authority, that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Father, we come and humble ourselves before you this morning, for we are a sinful and needy people. And Father, this nation needs thy presence and thy anointing. Father, we lift up first of all our president and those in authority over us, for Father, your word says that you put up and you put down. And you put up George Bush to be our president at this time. And Father, we're thankful for him. I'm thankful for him.
Yes,
and I'm thankful for the stand that he's taken.
Yes,
many may say that he could do better. But Father, I thank you for what he has done and what he does do. And I bless him and I praise your anointing and your presence about him. And wisdom and guidance and direction for him by the Holy Ghost. I thank you for godly counsel for him, Father, that he does have godly counsel. And I thank you for it. I bless the governors of each state, the mayors, the police, the fire department, Father, the commissioners, Lord, all that are in authority over us, Father, from the least to the greatest, which is our president. Father, today I lift them in remembrance before you and ask for your mercy. For, Father, without your mercy and grace, we would have been long gone as Sodom and Gomorrah. But, Father, except for thy grace and thy mercy, hear our petitions this day, O Lord. Hear our petitions in behalf of our nation. And I thank you and I praise you for the privilege that we have to lift up our voices and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. For he's Lord over this nation. He's Lord over the nations of the earth. For your presence shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Father, you say that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Today we bow our knees. We confess that you're Lord of lords and King of kings. Father, we decree that the day to come when every knee shall and every tongue shall declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we don't know how you're going to accomplish that. We don't know how it will happen. We don't know when. But it is written. And Father, we declare through the word that it is written and that is our promise. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you for the promise that you said, die in thy household.
Yes.
We stand, Father, to declare
yes.
our households in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, you said that whoever sins we remit, they're remitted. We remit the sins of our households. Bring them in remembrance before you. Thank you, Lord, for the fact and the authority that you've given us, each one of us, to stand in behalf of our households.
Yes.
And I thank you for today. I appropriate the blood of Jesus over our families, over our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, over our aunts and our uncles and our nieces and nephews. Father, we extend our arm out over to cover our families and to be the priest of each one of our families. Help us to take that place of authority and stand strong and declare that it is written, Satan, that we have authority over our households, and we bind them to the kingdom of the living God, and we bring their sins and remit their sins to the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus becomes Lord of their lives. And I thank you for that privilege that you've given unto us, and I give you praise for it today. Amen, amen, and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.